Blog All Talk right. Radio.
All right. We are here, ladies and gentlemen. I want to bring on our host. Garb himself. He is Jordan Garber. And he's a little shy, too, I think, tonight. So what's up there, man? Are you there?
I don't know what's going on.
Cut the Promo Podcast, your radio show out of Winnipeg, Canada. And we have an exciting guest on this evening with us, probably the coolest president in the history of football operations, ladies and gentlemen. And I give you the one and the only Matt Pemsnick. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, doing well.
So, you know, it is not quite Invader football season, but it is football season in the NFL, per se. So maybe you could give us a little bit of your background, and then we'll ask you some questions. You could tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so currently I am the president of the Fargo Invaders football team, as well as the newly elected president of the league we play in, the Northern Elite Football League. The Northern Elite Football League just completed its 11th season in August, and the Fargo Invaders are starting our 6th season this spring. So I'm looking forward to get football going again this offseason.
With the Invaders, you know, people would be kind of wondering about, you know, you mentioned it's a semi-pro team. Does it have a lot of similarities to the NFL? Do you guys have a draft? Do you have a combine? Can you sign anybody you want? How do you get the players to come join your team?
So for our league, we follow NFL rules, so it's 11-on-11 full football field that we play at. There is no draft. There is no kind of trades, at least not in our perspective from Fargo anyways. Some of the teams that are in the cities, Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul area, they might make some trades. But all of our guys are pretty much local to Fargo. I'd say about 85% of our players are coming from a local college, so whether that be NDSU, MSUM in Moorhead, Concordia College in Moorhead, or like NDSCS in Wahpeton, Valley City State, Minnesota State and Technical College in Fergus Falls. So a lot of the teams in our league are made up of kind of college players local to that city. And all the players, or I guess none of the players get paid. All the players have other full-time jobs. So that's why typically there isn't a draft or trades or anything like that, because players' teams and our teams are pretty much made up of where your players live.
So you mentioned that all players, you know, they basically pay to play. They don't get paid at all. Is that a league thing, or is it illegal to pay the players?
It is a league bylaw, a league rule. And part of that is some of the guys that we have in our league are 18, 19, 20 years old. So they still do have college eligibility. Maybe they just don't have the grades at the point in time, or maybe they were with the college program but things didn't work out. So we make it a league bylaw that none of the players are paid, so that everybody can keep their amateur status and college eligibility and ultimately could end up finding themselves on a college roster.
Okay, so they still have the potential to not only play for the Invaders, but if they have some eligibility in college, they can still go back and play in college.
Absolutely.
See, I did not know that. That's one thing I did not know. Because I thought once you got on a semi-pro team, if you want to go back to college, you couldn't, because you were on semi-pro. That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yep, and that kind of goes to the why that rule is in play, and why we have that in our bylaws, is to kind of keep that door open, because there's certainly some talented players in our league that didn't get their time in college, and some of it could be a late growth spurt. Some of it could be just work ethic has changed as they've gotten older. But, yeah, certainly keeping some doors open.
So with that being said, do a lot of coaches from local colleges come and check out the product when the players are on the field?
We do get some college coaches in, and we have had a couple of our players go on to try to use their eligibility, college eligibility, and play, as well as we've also had some players go and play in, like, indoor league, such as, like, the Green Bay Blizzard and some other indoor teams from there. So yeah, it's really kind of opening up an avenue for kind of players to continue their careers, whether it's a professional paid opportunity with an indoor or arena league or potentially even the CFL, or whether it's kind of increasing or continuing their career through college.
And I just want to give a quick little update for those that are listening to the show and are deciding whether to watch Monday Night Football. You know, we are loyal to the Vikings around here. The Vikings just punted, and the ball hit the face mask of the Packer, and the Vikings got the ball back. So I just want to give that quick little update because, you know, a lot of us Fargo fans don't like Green Bay, but that's just something else. But anyway, we'll get back to the interview. So, Matt, you've been with the Invaders the entire time, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And now, have you always been the president of the team? Because I know that you used to play for the Invaders, right?
Yeah, so it's really, there was essentially five people that were kind of set up as the board of directors and kind of really got things going. So I was one of the original five, and I'd say myself and Shane Stevenson were really the kind of main two that got things going and off the ground. And so initially he was the president of the team and I was the general manager, and then Shane ended up moving to Montana. So then I took over as president from there and have been president ever since.
So is there any chance that we'll get to see you take the field again? Because, you know, I know I see you all over. I see you up in the booth doing stats. I see you, you know, at the concession stand selling hot dogs. I see you taking tickets. I see you telling the icon what to do. But the thing is, do you ever get the grit in your teeth that you want to get back out on the field?
I mean, I think it would always be fun to play, and I think I've kind of stopped going to the gym as much as I could or should if I were actually playing. But, yeah, I think it's kind of what you alluded to. There's just so much going on game days that kind of takes away from the potential of me being able to play, because I did play the first 2 years in 2014 and 2015, and it was kind of difficult both trying to focus on the game and prepare as a player for the game, but also as a general manager at that time, trying to prepare the field and the concessions and the tickets and all that stuff as well. So it does kind of get too busy on game days to try to play, and that was kind of the main reason why I ended up hanging up the cleats in 2015.
All right, we have about 10 minutes here left with you. So if our fans wanted to, listen to a game on the radio, do you have radio sponsorship? Can they hear you on the internet? If they want to listen to a game, how would they check that out?
Yeah, so the first few years we did have a radio broadcast, and actually this first 4 years, and then just this last year we went solely on just YouTube live streaming. So if you can live stream, if you have internet connection, you can pull up our games on YouTube. Jay Stemmen and Matt Franco help broadcast and announce that game on the Fire Network. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at now. For a few years, we were doing both online streams and radio, and just last year we went solely to the online streaming.
Now, with those type of broadcasts, does that work a lot better than having to follow the radio equipment and dial into radio stations? Is it more accessible to your team by doing it that way as compared to being on the radio?
I think the live broadcast actually is more cumbersome because there's a lot more tools. There's screens and monitors that come into play, and the scoreboard feature on our live broadcast as well. Whereas with radio, we just had one small box that kind of plugged in at the booth, and then you just dial the radio station. So it's pretty small setup and straightforward. Whereas with the live broadcast, each year we've kind of got more and more added to it. And then there's just more that Matt Franco has been doing from a kind of replays and putting sponsors logos up and adding commercials into our live feed and things like that. So it's actually a little bit more of a setup, but I think it's certainly something that our fans appreciate.
Awesome. And can you hear me, Icon?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. We've been waiting for
you. Awesome. Wicked. I guess my question is, you know, you have a very exclusive position. You're part of running a semi-professional football team. That's a big deal. But how long have the Invaders been in existence, and what are some of your favorite memories of the team along the way?
So we first founded the team October 2013, and our initial season and first game was May 2014. I'd say some of the highlights that we've had were winning the league championship in our first year in 2014. We won the Midwest Premier Football League Championship. And then a couple of years later in 2016, we went undefeated and won the Northern States Football League. And in that season, we ended up scoring. We went 12-0, scored 444 points, and only gave up 24 points all season. So we were averaging about 40 to 2 games. So that was pretty fun season as well. So a couple championships.
And what are some of the challenges of running a football organization? If there's a few that could pop out, what would be one of the biggest challenges of running a professional football team?
So I'd say from our perspective, from the Fargo Invaders, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So as Scott had mentioned and kind of we discussed earlier, none of the players are paid, but actually none of our coaches are paid. None of our staff are paid. None of the board members are paid. So it's all kind of one of the biggest challenges is finding people that want to essentially dedicate their time and put effort into making something successful and kind of professional feel to it, all while still having their own kind of full-time jobs outside of the Invaders. So just finding those kind of useful, helpful people on game days and throughout the season, finding coaches that dedicate their time because they're there every practice, every game, and also several days and hours during the week to prepare for games as well.
Now, are you trying to real quick? Are you always looking to add more staffing, or are you guys pretty much got that covered?
I'd say we're always looking to add staffing. We have kind of this kind of dream org chart kind of made up that has about 40 different positions that would really help the organization kind of hum along. And right now it's about half full. So just add some extra kind of burden and kind of things, different roles to different people that are involved. So pretty much we're always looking for those type of people that are hardworking and kind of love football and want to get involved and kind of do more for the team and see this succeed.
And real quick here also, I was just wondering what you thought that you have the Icon as your biggest fan. I was just wondering what your opinion was on that.
Hey, we love the Icon. We love his support. And like kind of just alluding to the last point too, it's always good to find people that are fans of the team and dedicated to the team and able to kind of volunteer and help out with their time and kind of help the team wherever needed. So certainly appreciate that.
Awesome. Jordan, what else do you have for Matt here before we send him back to his training for the night.
Well, I guess, you know, myself being a big football fan, it has a lot of similarities to professional wrestling with magic and just that overall environment and atmosphere. So I guess before we take it away with this interview, if there's one thing you could take back and you could only take one thing away about the game of football that you love the most, other than the aspect of the actual game, what would it be?
I'd say the kind of camaraderie, the brotherhood, the family. You really get to know everyone involved, like from a player perspective, coach perspective, staff. I mean, if one of the players is kind of going through tough times or one of the coaches or anything going on, it seems like everyone's always got each other's backs and kind of we all come together as a team. And even beyond our own team, even as a league as well, like we played in an all-star game a couple months ago where it was our league against another league. And all these players that were competitors all season long are now on the same team and just seeing how they all – kind of came together and supported each other too. It's just something about football that kind of brings people together.
Wicked.
And real quick here, we all know that my favorite player is John Bounty. I mean, this guy, Jordan, I'm going to ask Matt this real quick, then we'll talk about Bounty real quick. If we could get Jordan to come down from Winnipeg, do you think we could get him a ticket for the game so he can come check us out?
Absolutely.
I'd be
well,
wicked.
No, 110%. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I actually, it's on the bucket list. We have the Blue Bombers here in Winnipeg. I'm not going to get started about that. But I do love the football scene that America has to offer, especially in the Midwest. Now, I've only seen CFL game, and it is coming soon, probably in the next year or so, I'm going to be seeing an NFL game. But I want to see what the minor league system is like in football because I have as much fascination for that in football as I do for professional baseball. So I kind of want to see because these could be the stars of tomorrow. You never know who you could be watching. And the players that you recruit, Matt, are coming from some Division I, Division II colleges and universities. So you already have the talent there, and I would be more than happy, and I'd love to see them showcase it at a live game. Absolutely.
Awesome. I'd be happy to get you a ticket.
I appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do, Jordan. We'll have you come down the weekend that the Gold Eyes play the Red Hawks. We'll go to the Invaders on Saturday. We'll go to the Red Hawks on Sunday. How about that?
Sounds like a plan. We'll plan it for next summer for sure.
Awesome. Well, Matt, real quick here, if our fans wanted to check out the Invaders, do you guys have a Facebook? You got a YouTube? You got an Instagram? You got a Twitter? What do you got?
We got all the above. We got a Facebook, Fargo Invaders, a Twitter, at Fargo Invaders, an Instagram, at Fargo Invaders. We got a YouTube channel for Fargo Invaders, with which you can rewatch some of our live games from the past seasons. And then we also have a website, fargoinvaders.org.
And you are going to be doing the raffle again this year, correct? So our fans that are listening can buy raffle tickets?
Yes. Thanks for mentioning that. The raffle is something we do every year, and we've done every year. And as I mentioned before, we're a 501c3, so none of staff is paid. No one's paid, so the raffle is a big way to kind of help fund our season. We usually have a pretty good amount of prizes, about 35 to 40 prizes, and some big screen TVs and other electronics. Usually have a few guns as well. $20 for a raffle ticket to help fund a good cause and potentially win an awesome prize.
All right, Matt. Well, I'll tell you what. We thank you for taking time out of your schedule tonight to join us, and we'll definitely have you on again closer to the beginning of the season, and we thank you for joining us tonight.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Pesnick, ladies and gentlemen, president of the Fargo Invaders, president of the Northern Elite Football League. I have a bumper sticker that says, Matt Pesnick is my president, because I don't like our current president. So there you go. Oh, well, Jordan, what do you think of Matt? That was kind of cool, huh? You got a free invitation to come on down.
Oh, you know, that's great. Like I said, big football fan. I have memories of watching football with my grandfather when I was a kid. Since I watched the NFL and the CFL since I was a baby. So I actually also played football for a few years. I played for a team called the North Winnipeg Nomads. And I was like young, like 13, 14 years old, but I played football and then I got into basketball and then I chose to stick with pro wrestling. Some people say it might have been the worst decision I made because I was really good at getting fumbles and I was really good at my passing game and stuff with that in basketball. But, you know, it's always good to follow what you love to do. And speaking of what you love to do, Matt definitely loves that. And he has a great team on his shoulder that it's a contribution from everybody that makes a football team a success like the Fargo Invaders. And I'm more than excited to see a game in the near future. I do kind of want to discuss one thing, though, Icon, though. Dissolving away from the football thing. We had a good guest, that we had a good interview, but there is something that I did promise everyone I did want to bring up. And can you guess what it is, Icon? Can you guess what I want to report about?
Well, I'm thinking it must have something to do with the Canadian Wrestling Fest that's coming up in Winnipeg there.
It has something to do with Canadian wrestling, that's correct, and it's personally to Brutus Beefcake. There's been a recent controversy where Brutus has not just heat with me, but he has heat with the entire Canadian Wrestling Elite locker room. And I'm going to explain the big picture, and I'm going to explain his experience with me. So Brutus was supposed to do the entire 32 show tour. He was supposed to do all of those dates. What happened was the whole tour, he was nice in the beginning and then he turned into an asshole. I can go into it more in a little bit why. But the thing is that you missed 5 dates in which the promoter paid him for. Those 5 dates were already paid and he already received his money in advance. So what does he do is he pretends, because there's been no proof yet from his Twitter, that he had a family emergency and he flew all the way back to Florida and then took the $4,000. Why am I mad? Is because my friend is the promoter. I'm not looking at this at a professional wrestling perspective. I'm looking at this as me standing up for my friend who's lost $4,000 because of someone's selfish and inconsiderate actions. And I know that I shouldn't have posted the things I should have posted to Brutus on Twitter, but that was part of the issue. And it became an issue when he was scheduled to be on this program. He even agreed. And that's why I didn't announce it fully, because I knew from the get-go that he was going to do something to screw anybody over. He did that. My interview was promised, and I watched him do the merchandise, in which he stole money from that too. And then I asked him to do an interview, and he says he has no time. Yet he's been by himself for 30 minutes with no fan in sight, because they're not going to pay $30 for a photo of some star who was basically, I'm not going to get too much into it, but after denying an interview, he wants to take my alcohol, like drink that I had. He wanted to take my drink, and he also wanted to take a few other things that I'm not going to bring up on here. Basically, he bothered, because marijuana is legal here in Canada, he bothered me after saying no to an interview, and he almost stole my weed. And this is someone who's a millionaire. So I've basically, he's nothing worth more to talk about than the fact that he conned a lot of people out of a lot of things that were promised. And it sucks to see that in wrestling still, how that happens. It's just crazy. And the one guy feel bad the most for would be Danny, because now he's $4,000 in the hole because he decided to fly away when he was paid. That's one of the greasiest things someone can do.
Well, here,
and then he says he owes him money.
Yeah, here's the deal. I want to kind of chime in about this real quick. You know, I've been to, you know, like the Roger Maris Golf Tournament here in Fargo. You know, I mean, I can understand legitimately missing an event if you have a family emergency, but there's also those that are dinks about it. You know, and another good example of that is Juan Berenguer. Now, the guy has been scheduled to be here several times and is canceled every single time he was scheduled to be here. You know, and I don't know the guy personally, but I heard stuff and I'm like thinking, well, maybe, you know, this, you know, it's just hearsay, you know, that he would do that. But it turns out that, yes, it is true. He is exactly like that.
And that doesn't hurt us the most, Icon. That doesn't hurt us the most. When Brutus no-showed those 5 dates, and I was supposed to do the rest of the tour, and I said to Danny, I said, I just lost my job. I can't afford to. I have a job, and I need to put my lights on, and I have food. So I was out of the picture immediately for refereeing the rest of those 5 days. But at the very least, at least I didn't take the money that I was paid, because he would have paid me, but I didn't take the money and then not show up, because now in those 5 towns that Brutus missed, there's fans, like kids with their fathers that love wrestling, and they look forward to that. That was their day. They want to meet their favorite heroes and legends and stuff like that, and the worst thing you can do is not show up. It's one of those things where you con the fans, and I don't see him at a convention anytime soon. I think that's the last we've seen of him.
And what disgusts me more is the fact that, I mean, if he needs to own up.
He won't own up. He's always been like that, even 3 years ago when he's here. And I forgot to mention that you're talking about a 61-year-old man who the next morning messages me on Twitter and calls me a faggot. Do you really think you're 61 years old and you're calling me something like that? Like, come on. You're 3 years older than me, so I know who the bigger man is. It's me, because I'm not going to let that stuff bother me anymore. I think he's just another bully in the business, and he you know what? Karma. I'll just say that. Before we go to our next topic, I'll say karma, and Brutus, karma's a bitch, just like you. So that's a perfect way to just transition out of that.
What a jack. You know, what a jackass, really, you know, I hear that, it just pisses me off. It really is. It really does.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just, you can't do that to people. You can't just run away and you owe people money. And then he says on Twitter that he owes him. I don't understand that, but I'll say this, that whole Friday was ruined because of him. And it's a disgusting human being to have trust in someone. And even the media that he was doing, I heard all of it, like terrible feedback. He was terrible on television. And apparently the boys even took him out for breakfast. Like, he treated him like the celebrity that he thought he was. And he took him out for breakfast, bought him breakfast. And all he did was chow on his food, didn't say a word, and didn't even say thank you when he walks out. It's like, if that was my friend and I went out for breakfast, like, you think you would at least have a conversation.
Hey, Jordan, can I make a quick announcement?
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
The Minnesota Vikings are going to and Aaron Rodgers, once again, you have proven without a shadow of a doubt.
You're cutting out, Icon.
I'm just saying that Aaron Rodgers proved without a shadow of a doubt he does.
Aaron Rodgers, like I said, overrated quarterback. He had good numbers previously, but he can't match up to the Vikings offense. That's just my personal take on it.
And it's true. You know, and last week.
So. Yeah, basically like you were saying, like the Vikings have a very, very solid offense, and they're definitely Super Bowl contenders. I think they're 6-4 now, but, you know, I still see them making that push for the gold. Anyways, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for Cut the Promo podcast. We had Matt Penzick on, who is the president of the Fargo Invaders semi-professional football team.
Hey,
thank you very much for taking the time of your day to be on. And get out your plugs.
We have Onyx next week.
Yes, Onyx next Sunday, 10 p.m. Central. Hear from what Onyx has to say. One of the most destructive women in professional wrestling. What does she have to say? We're going to find out as well. More announcements coming up about the Winnipeg Wrestling Special. 15 of the top guys discuss their views, and it's not going to be, might not be the prettiest show, but it's going to be there.
Yeah, and she has just confirmed, so we are good.
Perfect. There is confirmation. And also, this Wednesday or Thursday, I'm going to be doing an afternoon episode as there's an interview taping with Gursinder Singh. He's supposed to be on. He's from Impact Wrestling. I'm doing an interview with him over the phone at 2 in the afternoon, I think, on Wednesday. So we're going to hear from him, and then that might be posted as a recording to play at 8 o'clock that night, or I might just play it Thursday afternoon. So there's going to be another show this week with an interview with an Impact Wrestling star. So stay tuned for that, and stay tuned for Onyx next Sunday. You've been listening to the Cut the Promo podcast with myself, Jordan Garber, and my co-host, The Icon. You have a good night.
Take care, guys.